welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
I firmly believe this Word. I teach it, I preach it, I live it. And I want to live it more and more than I do live it, but I live it. And we would, Hillary and I, we would live it a lot. We want to live it more. I'm saying that because we're not perfect, but we're still on our journey of living it. And out of my salvation and my growth in God through this, and the awareness that living inside of me is the precious Holy Spirit, there are some truths that have come to me, and I've been delighted to receive them, many truths, but the ones I'm going to point out to you, I've been delighted to receive them because they affect me in my carnal circumstances. That's this body of flesh and the environment in which I live, which is harsh and coarse, which is many times difficult to live in. There's disease. The world's ridden with it. We have an enemy that wants to put sickness and disease upon our bodies. There is not enough money to do what we'd like to do, many times to do what we have to do. There is a spirit that seems to prevail in the lives of the majority of people, and that's that spirit of discord and division, always fighting. We've never got real unity, which is that. The spirit seems to be busy, and yet we have through that found, I have found through that, that this Bible tells me some wonderful things concerning those things. For instance, I'm going to quote you a couple that you will know. The scripture says and if you take your notes, please take notes, because I realize I'm only going to lay a foundation this morning, and we'll have to be a two-part. We'll put the meat on next week as to the how-to. But first one I quote to you is Psalm 5 and verse 12. You put that on the screen. It says this. It says that, "For you, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield." Look at that. Look at that. I believe it. Hillary and I arrange our life in line with that. Doesn't matter what comes along, we believe that. "For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous." Will bless. That means do good to. Hallelujah. And he goes on to, in this simple verse, he goes on to communicate something as to how he will do that. He says, with favor. He will surround us as with a shield. Glory to God. Glory to God. I believe that. I walk in it. Hillary does. We do that. We believe that. We thank God for it. I want to tell you, that's the blessing of God. That's the blessing of God. So let's just quickly, just can't spend time on it, but say, okay, the Lord's going to bless the righteous. Let me back up a little bit, because whilst this is true, there's also something that's true for those who are unrighteous. The unrighteous are those who are, in the words of Scripture, heathens. Heathens, in the word terms of Scripture, are those that don't have a trust in God, do not trust Him. I'm putting emphasis on the word trust. They do not trust God. They have no conviction that there is the great I am. It's all in the mind, and they are secular in their thinking. So there are people without God, and yet God's relationship with them is unbelievable. I've experienced it, so I know it. Because I lived a life without God in the world. I lived without God. I had no awareness of God. I lived and I found myself satisfied in the environment in which I was establishing for myself. And yet I was on a journey to a lost eternity. I was on a journey to a place of judgment and the penalty that judgment was going to give me, which was eternal death. In a place of burning, damnation and hell. And I didn't know it. But I take hold, I grab a scripture that's come so easily to me, but it's one of the most powerful scriptures in the world. One day I got hold of this revelation truth, and that is that, but God so loved me. Of course, he loves the world. He so loved me that he gave his only begotten son. You know it. But before that, I was without God. Doesn't matter whether I was successful or unsuccessful, I was without God and without hope. And yet this great revelation came into my life, and it's there for all those who are without God today. That God loves them. God loves those who are walking around without him and they don't believe him, and they've got their mental arguments which they satisfy them as to why there is no God. Do you know, but he still loves them. And you know, he loves them that much that the provision he has made for them is the same that he made for me and anyone else. And that is that he gave his son to carry our guilt, our shame, our shortcomings that would take us to a lost eternity. And Christ Jesus would pay the penalty and the price. That whosoever would place their trust in God would have life eternal and go to heaven. What a God God is. So let me leave those who I was once amongst their ranks, those unbelievers, aside for a moment, and go on to another group of people, and that's a group that I'm part of today, and that is that I'm born again. And now I can enjoy not just one promise of God, which was this, that whoso would call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what he said to the unbeliever. That's a promise to any unbeliever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But let me go to another promise now that he has given to me. And this is one of them. As the righteous. Because now, through 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, God made and took his own son, Jesus, and he made him to be sin for me, or for us, that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If you want to look at what the righteousness of God looks like today, look, it's here. The righteousness of God. It's given me everything that God has offered me. It's who I am today. The righteousness of God. How did it happen? I just took hold of the love and the offer of salvation that God, because of his love, gave to me in Christ. And as a result of that, like those that came up out of the waters of baptism, they came up righteous. Righteous. That means I am just like God. I can stand in the presence of God without any sense of guilt, shame, or any sense of inferiority complex. Hallelujah. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's only because I'm in him. But that's who I am. And I can walk around, and I do walk around like it. I'm the righteousness of God. And so here is a promise now to me as a person that's righteous. To anyone that's righteous now, is a promise. Can we go back to Psalms 5, verse 12, please? Thank you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. I love that word, bless. We'll talk more about it. With favor, you will surround him as with a shield. So whatever you want to call this is all around me, and to whoever is born again and believes it, there's a shield all around me. It's a shield of favor. That favor is a simple word to exchange it for the word blessing. It's the blessing of God that's all around me. It's his promise to me. But it's a covenant promise. But any promise has to be taken up on. But here is this favor. He will surround us with his favor as with a shield. What does a shield do? It protects you. It delivers you from those things that would do you harm. All around you is a shield. That's the promise of God. to bless us in such a way. Let me just take you to one other. You will know it. Let me take you to Proverbs 10:22. You know that? The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Whoa. So here's again, advancement is a covenant promise. God's blessing, that blessing of the Lord makes, notice one, whoever chooses to receive what's theirs, makes one rich. Now, richness, don't just get caught up with money. Don't get caught up with money. Money's included. But if you chase money, what's the point of owning the whole world if your body is racked with pain and you're twisted with tormented? This offer of blessing, the blessing of the Lord that makes one rich and adds no sorrow with it, is for every area of your life. And so Hillary and I, daily, we just walk with God and we thank him that we are blessed in every area of our life. There's not one area that we're not blessed in. And we're not, is there? We are blessed in every area. And any we can't think of, we are still blessed in when they arrive. I'm serious. So, this blessing of the Lord is there for every believer. And through this week, God's been just gently nudging me, I guess, in this direction. The saints are blessed. Everyone here that's born again, you're already blessed in every area of your life. You might, but your problem is the majority, let me rephrase that. The problem with most saints is they read the scriptures and they see that. Then they take their eyes off that and then they look at their circumstances and say, no, I'm not. Do you know what you're doing? You are taking your circumstances and saying your circumstances are true and God must not be true because your circumstances are here. But God's nearer. And just as in every situation, in our relationship with God, there is nothing more for God to do. It is already done. It's already taken care of. From the minute that you enter into a relationship with God, that journey starts. And notice this, it's not God towards you. It's always the other way around. It's you towards God. You've got to turn to him on every set of circumstances and embrace in your life what he has promised is yours. Don't ask him for it because he's already given it to you. You've just got to take it. Doesn't matter what it is, you've got to take it. You say, but Pastor, I can't get that around my head. You know, you're not supposed to get it around your head. The Bible says with the heart, man believes. And with the mouth, confession is made. That's how this blessing works. When you confess what God has said, you'll slowly start to see what God said taking place in your life because you will stop talking about the circumstances and you'll start confessing what God's done already. And what do you believe, your circumstances? Or do you believe God? What I want to tell you, if you as a Christian live your Christian life with your head informing you of the right way, you are in trouble. The only way a Christian can be led by God is by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God lives inside of us, and the Spirit of God only does one thing, leads us into this truth. The Holy Spirit will direct your steps through this word and no other way. But the promise is yours. You have to receive it. You know, a lot of people say, I can't be bothered to read the Bible. I can't be bothered to spend time in it. Wow, it's so much in there. It's Old Testament stuff. Let the pastor or somebody else do that. Oh, my Lord. You don't know what a privilege it is for me to be one that does this, but I was doing it before I was in the ministry. I want to tell you, when you don't do that, you are saying that You don't need this. You can work it out. This word is a lamp to your feet. This word. This word. And if you don't know it, then you have no lamp. If you don't know what the answer to your circumstances are in God, what God has promised concerning the circumstances that you find yourself in, if you don't know the answer to that according to this word, how can you claim it, stand upon it, and confess it? You can't. This word is more precious than the food that you make sure that you put into your tummy every day. Man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so, what I'm communicating is that this is the right for every Christian, the blessing of God. The blessing of God. But the blessing is there for us all. All to take, all to receive, all to live by. Doesn't matter what area it is that you stand in need. God has blessed you and has put a shield around you. And that shield is there through and by His Word. This shield is impenetrable. If you want to challenge that or get deeper into it, read through Ephesians chapter 6 and enjoy the journey. Because that's where your equipment is. That's how you're able to stand and overcome the enemy. Ephesians chapter 6, it's all listed for you. Start living it. Start talking it daily. Start walking through it each day. And realize how well you are equipped. God hasn't left you just to walk around in the flesh. He has equipped you with His Word. Hallelujah. And His Word is like a hammer that breaks the rock into pieces. It's a sharp two-edged sword. And you've heard me say that word two-edged in Hebrews 4 when it's talking about the Word of God. It's double-tongued. I love it. I love that. In the Greek, that's double-tongued. In other words, what do you mean double-tongued? Well, two tongues. The first tongue that spoke it out was God. And the next tongue that's going to talk it out is mine. Do you understand? What God says is what I'm going to say. Do you understand that? And it says this double-edged sword, this word of God, is sharper than any two-edged sword and is able to divide between soul and spirit. This soul of yours, your mind, will, and emotions, it's able to divide those separate. As you read it, you'll become aware of the word and truth of God and God's word alone. It will isolate you. It will isolate you from the carnal mind. It's able to divide between soul and spirit, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It'll let you know whether you're thinking right. It'll let you know what your attitude towards God is, because it all comes out of your heart in your relationship to God. So, okay, I'm going too slow. Are you with me so far? So why is it the saints get caught up with this and are not able to take the promises that are there? Because I believe I'm blessed. In fact, some of you, and not just you here, but others, don't make a joke of it, but they sort of smile, like, how are you doing? I say, I'm so blessed. And it's not a cliche, I want you to know. I am blessed because of promises like this. That's why I'm blessed. I'm not talking about any specific thing about me when I answer and say, I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed because of what God has promised me. Does that make sense? Blessed, so blessed, hallelujah, so excited. Is that right? Do you want to do a run up and down now? Or what? Okay. So we're blessed. The righteous are blessed. The righteous are blessed. I need to link this somehow. The righteous are so blessed. And we have got to somehow get to a place where we can know it and live it and enjoy it all the time. I think our problem is doubt. Doubt. I think it's our problem. It's a problem with mankind, and when we become Christians, we bring that in to our life, doubt. There's nothing that seems to be real certain. But you know there is something that's certain. It is God Almighty, and it's His Word. It will never fail. And if we've got certainty, we can start to move forward. We can go somewhere if we've got certainty. So we've got to get rid of this, or we've got to get authority over, or exercise authority over doubt. Doubt. And you know, we can do it, but it's through this word. There's a knowing that destroys doubt. Let's title our message, Graham, Knowing That Destroys Doubt. Doubt can't live in something that you really know. Doubt can't live there. There's no need to. You've got it. You've got it. So let's talk about a knowing that destroys doubt and enables us to function with that knowing. Father, today we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for the anointing that destroys the yoke. We thank you that we're never alone, but precious Holy Spirit, you never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you that you are, who are a resident inside of us, enables us to be able to declare that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Today we declare the anointing of your Spirit is upon our lives today. You anoint our eyes with eye salve that we can see in the Spirit, that you anoint our spirit man to be able to be quickened to life inside of this mortal body, that there will be a demonstration of all the truth of your word to be able to live through us, change the circumstances in which we find ourselves, and reveal the majestic fulfillment of your eternal promises, which can never fail. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. I want to say, God's promises can never fail, will never fail, but they have to be taken up, and they have to be handled with faith, not with feeling or emotions of any sort, nor with the intellect. God's word has to be settled once and for all. As for God, his way is perfect, and the word of the Lord is a tried and proven word. That has to be the beginning of it. And so therefore there's no place for me to get carried away with anything else. I believe the word of God. So for me to get rid of doubt, I've got to get hold of truth. And I've got to believe it enough to see it bear fruit. How do I believe? What does believing look like? Well, believing this word looks like this. It will see John Nabby thinking it. Not what my circumstances are, but what God's word has said. I tell you, you don't miss your circumstances. They will knock you over. They're in your face every second of every day. Your circumstances are there. What we need to do is, if we would just give this word just one-tenth of the time that we give our circumstances to our thinking, we'd be powerful people. Instead, our circumstances, I'm talking about the negative circumstances, I'm sure you understand that. The negative circumstances control our thinking. But we need to give our thinking to the Word of God. And so what does believing look like? Believing looks like thinking the Word, what he said about a thing. Believing looks like thinking it, speaking it out, praying it out, living it out. You've probably heard me say that many times, but that's what believing looks like. Believing, the Bible says we are to believe with our heart and confess with our mouth. So I need to confess with my mouth, but we'll put the mechanics into place, God willing, next week. We need to think. I need to think with my mind, speak with my mouth, and my body needs to be functioning in a way that communicates to the people. It's not as it is, but it is as God says it is. So if I'm in pain or I'm sick or I've got such a mountain sitting on my shoulders, you're not going to see it in my face and you're not going to hear it out of my mouth. You're not going to see it. You're not going to see it. I am not a representative of Satan's abilities. Did you hear me? I am a representative of the love of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who has, listen to this. He has forgiven all my iniquities. He has healed all my diseases. He has delivered my soul from destruction. He has crowned me with loving kindness and tender mercies. And he has satisfied my mouth with good things. There it is, with my mouth, so that my youth. I know you keep wanting to ask me the question, how is it I am 58 but I look like 28? I'm telling you. Because he makes my youth. What is it? He renews my youth daily as the eagles. Daily. And I confess it. I confess it every day. Is that right? All right, thank you for renewing my youth today. Praise God, and I will take just a couple of moments, and I'll talk about all the things I sense there may be a slight change taking place in the evidence of youthfulness. Speak it out. You've got to believe God's word enough and act it out if you're going to demonstrate true faith. I tell you what, a lot of Christians don't have any problem doing it. It's not getting at Christians. I'm trying to help everybody to understand this. They don't find a great difficulty in letting it be known that there's some real problems there. If they don't tell anybody, they do without using their mouth by their actions, attitudes, circumstances. But we've got to do the same for God. Hallelujah. So let's just look at a powerful scripture. Let's turn to 1 John. I think I've ministered on this once before, but within keeping of this, I think this is the best place for us to go to. 1 John, 1st Epistle of John, chapter 5. We'll put some meat on it next week. Let me turn you to 1 John 3. No, before I do, I want to remind you of this. God just brought it to me yesterday, and I said, whoa. Do you remember when, in the book of Numbers, what I'm going to say to you is, I have received the blessing of God. God says, I'll bless you. And that blessing belongs to me. That blessing is mine. And I understand that because God, my Father, has blessed me. And there is nobody but that can compare with my Father. And nobody can make him change his way if he doesn't want to. He doesn't change his mind. The Bible says, with my God, there is no shadow of turning nor any variableness. Praise the Lord. So my God is never going to recant on his promises to bless me. Never, never, never. Is that okay? It was settled? Never. He's never going to. So therefore, I can have absolute confidence in the promises that God's given me because they're primarily unconditional. It's out of his love. So therefore, why would I doubt for a minute that when these circumstances come along, they're going to change the power of his promises? I have no reason to think that. There's no way any set of circumstances can change the promise that God's given to me. And my mind's just gone to Numbers. You remember the book of Numbers? There was a man called Balak, and there was another man called Balaam. Balak was a, if you like, in terms of today's term, he was the king of a whole territory. And Balaam was, to put simply, a prophet in the hand of God. And Balak, if you know the story, got threatened when the children of Israel were making their exodus from Egypt, and they came on their journey, and they camped near the Moabites and the Midianites. And they were huge, the children of Israel were huge in number. And wherever they went, the nations feared them. Feared them, one, because of their huge numbers, and two, because they had heard of the exploits of the God of Israel fighting for them. And so when they came and camped there, Balak got really concerned that we are too small, we can't handle these, we can't go and tell them to get clear out of there, or what if they attack us? They have no answer. So they did know Balaam, and they sent their top officials, dignitaries, across to where, whatever part of the world he was in, and sent them with a message and with goods and so on, saying, whatever you will charge us, that's fine. We will find the fee, if you like. But come, please, and curse this nation, because they're too big for us, and we can't do it. And this man, God, said to them, I can't come and curse them. I've got to go and talk to my God first. You can read it for yourself. Numbers 22, 23, 24. And so he went to talk to his God, and he asked his God about it, and he said, well, I have nothing to do with them. He said, and then he continued to entreat God. So he says, well, go with them, but do not curse them. You see. Anyway, you'll find this went on for a while. And then the time came, and God told him not to curse them, that Balaam, the prophet, went back. This is about the third or fourth time, and they were getting real anxious now, these people were, and offering him the world. And he said this, what God has blessed, I cannot curse. And what God has blessed, I cannot reverse. I want you to get this into your spirit. What God has promised, no one can change it. I'm blessed. Do you understand that? I am blessed. The only weak link here is not found in this word. The only weak link here is me. Do I believe it, or can a point come where I doubt it? You understand? Quickly, we're gonna go. Just leave you with a verse, and you can chew on this till next week. Turn with me to 1 John, 1st Epistle of John, chapter 5. If you don't know this, but I'm sure I've ministered on this sometime, if not this year, sometime anyway. Verse 21 through to 23. Verse 1, John 5, I'm sorry, I want 14 and 15. Let me go to verse 13. And the Apostle John makes this statement before we read what I want us to read. These things, he says, I have written to you who believe in the name, you need to underline that name, we're going to talk about the name one of these days, of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. That is a standalone couple of verses, if you like, but it is the canon of Scripture. We will open it up more next week and give some direction as to how to be a person that knows and doesn't therefore doubt. Which is what it says again here. This is the confidence. Do you know what confidence is? It's a total opposite to the word doubt. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we require of him. Whoa, we'll talk about it again. I'm going to ask you to chew on those two verses. And if you've got a pen, write down another. Let's go to two verses, chapters before it, in 1 John 3, and read 1 John chapter 3, verses 21, 22, 23. Amen. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He can do just what no other can do.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that he will direct your steps and blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.